You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for gathering us here together today. Thank you we can be in your presence, in the presence of your Son. Thank you for giving the Holy Spirit to be with us. And we pray for your blessing upon us, that you would guide me in all that I say, and grant all of us to better understand your word, to understand the sad reality of our sin, to understand how much you love us, and how Jesus is enough. In his name we pray. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, did you ever plan to go to a particular place, but then you ended up somewhere else? Consider this story. A Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida one particular year in order to get a break from a very cold winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they had honeymooned 20 years earlier. Because their schedules were so hectic, it was difficult to coordinate their travel. So what ended up happening is the husband, he left Minneapolis on a Thursday, and the wife was to follow the next day on Friday. The husband arrived in Florida, checked into the hotel, and noticed that there was a computer right in the room. So he decided to send an email to his wife. However, as he was putting in her address, he accidentally left out one letter in her email address. He didn't even catch it, and he went ahead and sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in the Houston area, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister, and following a sudden heart attack, he had passed away. The widow decided she would check her email because she was expecting many emails from friends and relatives and so on. After reading the first message, she screamed and she fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, then he glanced up at the computer screen. It said, "To my loving wife." Subject, "I've arrived." Message, "I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you are allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I see that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. P.S. Sure is hot down here." Well, obviously that was a joke. No computers in hell. But do you realize, though, that it is a fact that many people are going to be disappointed? Do you know it's a fact that many people are going to expect to end up in one place and actually end up in another place? People are going to expect to end up in heaven, and they're going to end up in hell. I tell you that now, because it's better to know now than when it actually happens. Think about what Jesus said will actually happen. Not might happen, but will actually happen on the very day that he returns. Over in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, "Many will say to me on that day that I come back, many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles.'" So these are quite extraordinary people. They have been very busy doing very extraordinary things and doing them in the name of Jesus Christ. And then Jesus goes on and explains what will happen. He's going to say to those people on the day that he comes back, he's going to say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." What's going on there? Why would he say such a thing? I mean, these are like super extraordinary people. I've never done anything like what he's talking about there, about casting out demons and performing miracles and so on. So these people are very special people in many ways, and yet he says to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Those are people that expected when they breathed their last that they would be in paradise. And yet when they breathed their last, they were actually in torment. In a sense, what they're doing is they're coming up to Jesus and saying, Jesus, Jesus, I think a mistake was made. I did all this stuff, and I thought that when I breathed my last, I thought I would be with you, but I ended up in this bad place, and now that you're here, I'm asking you, can you correct this? Can you fix it? Somehow a mistake was made. But he said to them, though, I never knew you. What was the problem? Those people, yes, they did extraordinary things, and they had their confidence in those things. Therefore, they did not trust in Jesus. They had no relationship with Jesus. They didn't think they needed it. They thought all they needed was their good stuff. So Jesus said to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Very sad. I want to share with you now a powerful example as we think about something with St. Paul in the Bible. Let's understand that Paul was very highly qualified to earn heaven. If we think about all the various people in the Bible, he might be maybe most qualified of all of them based on who he was and what he did to earn heaven. Paul himself wrote this. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. He was quite a man, very, very serious about the things of God as he grew up in every way. But then he added, though, going on here in Philippians, he added, I count everything, all that stuff I just read, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Can you see the difference there? He laid out like all these different things that were his. And then when God opened his eyes to the truth, he said, I count all of that as loss. And actually, that's a kind word to use. Really, I count all of it as dung, the Bible really is saying, and you know what that is. So he's counting all of that good stuff in that way because he's saying, none of that gets me into heaven. It's all about the relationship with Jesus Christ. And then I want to share with you something else that Paul wrote regarding his fellow Jews. Keep in mind, Paul was a Jew, a dead serious Jew, and then God transformed his life. But now Paul refers, though, to his fellow Jews who are still stuck in a bad situation. He wrote to them over in Romans 10, For I bear them witness, talking about these fellow Jews, I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. So these people are zealous for God. In other words, they're like I was. They're digging out what the Old Testament law says, and they're diligent in putting it into practice. They are zealous for the law. They have a zeal for God, he wrote, but not in accordance with knowledge. So they were doing all this stuff, but they were doing it not knowing enough information. They were lacking some important things. And then he wrote, For not knowing about the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. What does that mean? They didn't understand the righteousness of God. In other words, the righteousness of God is absolute perfection. but they sought to establish their own level of righteousness, and they basically said, let's do our best, and we think our best will be good enough. So that's what they were shooting for, that's what they were accomplishing, and they thought that was fine. The problem is, those are people that will hear, I never knew you, depart from me. Because they were down here trusting in what they had done, and they didn't understand that God required absolute perfection. And then finally, regarding such people, he wrote, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So it's not about us keeping the law, but rather it's about us knowing and being righteous in our Lord Jesus Christ. So important. What is the point? Our good works will never meet God's requirement of righteousness. So what is true then? Every one of us, we need desperately a relationship with Jesus Christ. What I want to do now is go over to this new card that we have here at Bethlehem. So something I've been working on for a while, and I want to explain the card now. And I'm hoping that after the service, if you haven't done so already, you'll pick up a handful of the cards and also the brochure that goes along with it. But let me explain the card. I think it's some very important stuff. First of all, getting to the inside of the card, I come to the question, what is faith? So I say that faith is God-given and word-fed. So with every question, I'm answering it with a Bible verse. So this isn't what I'm saying, this is what God is saying, so we can rely upon it. So when I say it's God-given, in the Bible it says, by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus. So it's not by my doing, it's not by your doing, it's by God's doing that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why does it have to be that way? The Bible says that by nature, in other words, what we inherited from our parents, we are spiritually blind, we are spiritually dead, we are spiritual enemies of God, and because of all of that, there's nothing we can do to make ourselves spiritually alive. So God has to do it. It's by his doing. God has chosen to work through word and sacrament in order to do that work. And then I say that faith is word fed. So when God makes us spiritually alive, now God has to feed us. So God has made us physically alive, and he provides us food to eat. So spiritual life, he provides our food. The Bible says that the word of God's grace, that's this word right here, the Bible, the word of God's grace is able to build you up. So what does God do through his word, through the Bible? He tells us of our sin. He tells us of his great love. He feeds us spiritually. He builds us up. He makes us strong in Jesus Christ. And then going on to the next part here, we still have the question, what is faith? But then I'm answering it like this. Faith is in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. So who is Jesus? Well, think about Peter's great confession over in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said to him, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So if he's only a great man, what he did means nothing. He has to be the Son of God. And Peter confessed that, and in many other places in the Bible, it tells us that reality. So what does that mean then? That means that he is the one that God promised right after Adam and Eve fell into sin. God said, I will send a divine champion and he will take away the sin of the world. And Christ, he is that one. God wants us to know he is the one, he is the only one. And then what has Jesus done? Think about when John the Baptizer, pointing to Jesus, said, look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So he is the Son of God in human flesh. And what did he do? He took away the sin of the world. Whether we know it or not, all of us have a huge problem, and that problem is sin. So God took radical action through his Son, aka, also known as the Lamb of God. So all of the Old Testament sacrifices, and there were like a zillion of them, all of them were pointing ahead to Jesus himself, to his once-for-all sacrifice by which he took away the sin of the world. So that gives us a little bit of information regarding what is faith. You're probably thinking, how did he fit all of that onto that card? Well, that's why we have to have the brochure. Okay, so now we move on to the next section of the card, and the question here is, what are works? Because we're trying to take a look today at what is the way to heaven? Is it by faith alone, or is it by faith plus works? So now we know what faith is. Let's figure out what works are, and then we need to figure out at the end, do we put them together or do we leave them separate? A very important question. What are works? I say works are God-planned and Word-guided. So it tells us in Ephesians 2, it says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, God took us who were dead in our sins, God made us alive in Christ, and God did so for the purpose of doing good works. It's all laid out there in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's be careful here now when it comes to works, so we do them in response to being alive in Christ. We never do them thinking that somehow we can make ourselves alive in Christ. A very important distinction. And then I also said there that works are word guided. So let's go to that famous passage in Psalm 119. The psalmist wrote, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Think about it like this. As a dim lamp enables us to take the next step in safety, so a much brighter light shines down the path ahead, showing us the way. How does God's word work like that? God works by his Spirit through his word to guide us now and to guide us forever and ever. And then continuing on our question here, what are works? I answer by saying works show our love for God and bring him glory. Jesus himself said there in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So that's a response that we give to Jesus. Let's know that love is not a word. Love is action. So how do we show love for God? We show love for God by doing what he commanded. Does that get us to heaven? No, that's by faith. But our response to being alive in Christ is to try to do what God commanded. And then we have another key passage here. How do we bring God glory? Jesus said, let your light shine in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's understand that of ourselves, we're like the moon. So we have no light in and of ourselves, but Jesus Christ, he is the sun. So we know that the moon has light only because the sun is shining upon it. So let's understand, as believers in Jesus Christ, as Jesus is in relationship with us, and we are in relationship with him, as he is shining upon us, that we have the opportunity to be able to reflect that light to others, and that's how we bring glory to God our Father in heaven. And then finally, on the back of the card. So I come to what I'm calling here important information. All of this ties together, and believe it or not, I'm going to tie it up with the resurrection at the end. You might think, isn't this Easter Sunday? Where's the resurrection that is coming? So, important information, what does it mean to be justified? Well, to be justified, one clever way to put it is that God sees me just as if I'd. Are you catching it? What does it mean to be justified? It means God sees me just as if I'd never sinned. So to be justified doesn't mean to be seen as someone who hasn't done something real bad or something who has done a whole bunch of good stuff, but it means that God sees me just as if I'd never sinned. Because God requires us to be perfectly just, right, and holy in his sight, that is God's requirement. We must be justified in his sight, or heaven will be closed to us. So what about faith plus works? Sounds like a pretty good thing, doesn't it? But I have a little statement in here, a little equation, and I say that Jesus plus anything equals nothing. Jesus plus anything equals nothing. That doesn't sound like good math, does it? But let me explain, though. It tells us in Galatians chapter 5, Paul was talking, especially in that book, on the topic of faith and works and how they relate to each other. And he wrote there in chapter 5, "You have been severed from Christ." Think about your arm being severed. You have been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. So if we try to add a work, even a single work, to Jesus Christ, what we have done is we have cut ourselves off from Jesus Christ. Now, logically, that doesn't make sense, does it? Now, who here likes cake? Now, does it make it even better when you have cake and ice cream? Yeah, by all means, right? So we would think, okay, faith is good, faith plus works, that would be even better. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? However, for those who end up adding to Jesus, really they're drawing two conclusions here. First of all, they're saying they don't believe that Jesus is enough, and then by adding to him, they are in fact cutting themselves off from Jesus Christ. So two very bad things. And then we come to faith alone. So how can we do an equation for faith alone? Faith alone, Jesus equals everything. Jesus equals everything. What does the Bible say? Over in Romans chapter 3, it says, "For we maintain that a man is justified," remember, God sees me just as if I'd never sinned. So in Romans 3, we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from works of the law. So it's saying we are justified by faith alone. That is the good news. As I come near the end here, let's think about law and gospel for just a moment. So the Bible is clear that the law condemns everyone. And why is that? Because no one can keep it perfectly. While the gospel offers salvation to everyone, the gospel is the good news of who Jesus is and what he has done to take away the sin of the world. So think about the Bible passage that we have on our church card, Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death." What's that saying? That's saying that because we have sinned, we have earned and deserve physical death and eternal punishment. So we did it. We earned it by our sins. And all of us are in that category. So again, the passage says, "The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So even though the news is very bad that we cannot perfectly keep the law, that sad reality is canceled out by what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. God wants us to know that eternal life, it is a huge thing. It's way more valuable than any of us could ever have. So God sent his Son. He won it for us. He purchased it for us. It's his gift to us in Jesus Christ. If it's not received as a gift, if we try to buy it with our works, we won't have it. We have to know that we are completely helpless to get it. We have to know that we don't deserve it by any means. But then we see, though, how much God loves us. Look at the cross, how much he loves us. We see what he did for us, and let us then know that Jesus is the one that we need, and by God's grace, let us embrace him. Let us know that we have eternal life through him. So what about you? Where is your confidence for heaven? Is it in Christ alone? Is it in all the good stuff you do, like those guys over in Matthew 7? Or is it kind of a combination of the two? Probably most people end up saying combination of the two, but if you hold on to that, that means you have cut yourselves off from Jesus Christ and you do not have heaven open for you. I don't want that for any of you. I want you to die in peace. I want you to be welcomed right into heaven, and I want you to rejoice forever and ever. So how does this tie into the resurrection then? I believe with all certainty that God made the world, and the people fell into sin, and that God promised his son, and that in time the Son of God came, and he put on human flesh, and then he lived a perfect life, and he took our sins, he took our punishment, he laid down his life, and God raised him on the third day. I believe all that is completely true. The Bible tells us all those things. But just knowing those facts does not save us, but rather by God's grace, we have to have the gift of faith alone by which we are trusting in Jesus, because then that actually connects us to the work that Jesus Christ has done. If we only know the facts, we're back here and we're disconnected and it's not really helping us. May God help us to let go of anything that we are trusting in other than Jesus Christ. Let us embrace him alone now and continue to embrace him for the rest of our lives. Let us know for certain that we are forgiven of our sins. Let us know that heaven is open for us. Let us be filled with joy. And with that joy, let us go forth that we might pick up some brochures and cards and share the good news with others so that they might know it too. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your Son. Thank you, dear Jesus, for your finished work. Let us see our own helplessness. Let us ever embrace you as our only Savior and help us that we might share the good news with others. And may you work through your words so that they might also have the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.